Today's scripture reading is Mark 3:31-35. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" He looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother." Let's pray. God, I thank you that we can come here today to worship you. Thank you for this beautiful day. Help us as we listen to Mr. Dellinger preach to have open ears and open hearts. In your name I pray. Amen.
I think one of the most beautiful sounds that you'll hear on a Sunday is Joanna singing. I love it. We're in Mark 3 today. Before we go to the last part of Mark 3, let's say our memory verses together. We're memorizing the Ten Commandments and the first and second greatest commandment. And so we're just plugging along week after week. So let's say these together. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no idols. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Just a couple more left, and now we'll say it through again, even after we've covered all the verses, but thank you for taking time to memorize this. Looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, turn your Bibles there. We're at the very tail end of Mark's account, which reminds us over and over about the servant that Jesus was as he walked the earth. And today we're looking at part of the text here that really defines for us the great value of church family. And so we see Jesus, if you remember, he's very famous now. People are going and coming after him all the time. He doesn't get much time to himself. He has to get away to do that, but if he goes here, within no time, it seems that a crowd shows up. His family's worried about him. They think to some degree he's kind of lost his mind a little bit. But so they're looking for him, and that's where we pick up here in Mark's Gospel today. It's also found in Matthew and Luke's. It says, "And his mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered, he said, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" Now, if you read these verses, Jesus is talking here about fellow believers. Today, we would say that's church family. Your mothers and your brothers, the saints of God. So this passage really does apply to us directly here at Heritage, as well as those who are in the body of Christ that may not attend here, but gather all over the world this morning. Because what Jesus is saying here, it transcends time, generations, even geographical locations. His words in Mark 3 are just as important today as they were when he said them back then. So Jesus is talking to a crowd that is gathered there. Obviously the disciples are with him. And I'm not sure at this point if there was teaching going on. It was after he taught them, and you know, maybe questions were happening or just maybe a social setting. We're not sure. But he's talking. He's with the crowd that's around him. And whatever the case, Jesus is talking while his family is trying to get to him. They're trying to find him. They're concerned. And we know there are a lot of people around, just even based on the parallel passages. Luke's Gospel tells us that they couldn't get to him because of the crowd. His mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. That's how crazy it was. All the people who were around Jesus, they could not, his own family, could not make their way to him. So Mary and her sons, Jesus' half-brothers here, they wanted to get to him, but they could not. But the message was relayed to Jesus in some way that they were waiting to see him. They were trying to get his attention. Now remember, Jesus is in his 30s here. Now for some men, this might have been maybe a little embarrassing. You know, Jesus, your mama's outside wanting to talk to you. You know, that could have been embarrassing, but Jesus didn't have an ego. That wasn't a concern for him. Now, when we see here his family, obviously he still loved them. And we see that they are wanting his immediate attention, and they can't get to him because of the crowd. So how did Jesus respond to this? Well, he took it as an opportunity to teach on the importance of the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. In other words, our church family. One another. The saints of God. And he takes it even a little further than those who actually attend church together. He talks about the saints of God. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether they are here in this gathering, or whether they're across town, or whether they're across the ocean. So Jesus speaks here. Takes it as an opportunity to teach on the importance of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is where we see the greater understanding of what it means to be a child of God in the family of God. Look at verse 35. He says, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, my sister, and my mother." And here's where we're going to focus the remainder of our time today. And I want us to be reminded, based on what Jesus says, the eternal value. That's the title of the sermon, the eternal value of church family. Jesus has taken a very teachable moment, why his mom and his siblings are looking for him, his immediate biological family, we can say, why they're looking for him. And so he's taken this opportunity to teach about the body of Christ. And so now, Jesus is he's not saying that we ignore our immediate family. He's not saying that we ignore our biological family. But he's saying that his immediate family, regards to his brothers and sisters in Christ, they're just as valuable. They're in a sense, a value that's equal here. Jesus isn't saying, no, I don't want anything to do with my mom and my you know, half-brothers now that I'm doing the work of the Lord. That's not what he's saying. But the value of our spiritual family is of much greater importance than we realize, and Jesus is demonstrating that for us today. So the question we have is, do we value one another like our own family? Do we have the love and do we share the value of one another as true family as we are in Christ Jesus? Now, because I can't speak for your family, but I love being with my biological family. I love being with my wife and kids and my son-in-law, my daughter-in-laws, and my grandkids. And last night, we were all in Charlotte together, all 26 of us. No one was missing. It was great. I love being with them. I find great value in being with them. And we're seeing that here with Jesus, what he is saying. Jesus stated that his brothers and sisters really are those who do the will of God. They were like his own family. In fact, the greater truth here is that our biological families are temporary, but our spiritual family is eternal. And Jesus is pointing that out. And what we learn from this statement is that doing God's will is what makes us brothers and sisters in Christ, to obey God, to do his will. So what is the will of the Father? Because that's what Jesus says. Well, when you look at John 6, he says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then in verse 23 he says, Jesus answering a question, he says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. We'll be one big family." That's what Jesus is saying. Now a saving faith is lived out in obedience. It is manifested. Your salvation is seen, is played out, is exemplified by obedience. That's what Jesus is saying. You do the will of the Father. He's talking to believers. Believers will do the will of the Father. Those who love Christ, who are truly saved, will keep his commandments. They will do the will of the Father. Jesus says that in John 6 and here in our text in Mark 3. Those who do God's will are part of God's kingdom. family. That's what they are. And we see it throughout the Gospels that the will of God is for us to be saved. It is to believe and trust in the Father, Son, Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save the lost. It is to live as Christ taught us to live. And that is the will of the Father. And only those who do the will of the Father are part of the spiritual family of God. Jesus makes that pretty clear here. Now, he was teaching two truths about being a brother or sister in Christ. There's two truths that Jesus is teaching here. And the first one, which we've already addressed, is to be saved, you do the will of the Father. This is for believers. The other truth is really an application of the first one, and that is that we are now family, and we're treated as family by Jesus, because we are family. Which is a great comfort. We see those promises just in these two verses here in John 6. We see the promise here. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And Jesus says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. You see the family, the kingdom family happening here. Jesus says in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. We will come to him, make our home with him. We'll be one happy family. That's what Jesus is saying here. So we see the promises here in these two verses. Now, our love for God and evidence of our salvation that we are children of God is that we do the Father's will because we are saved. And Jesus loves us as his family. We are forever included in the family of God and loved by both Jesus and the Father. What a great promise. For those of us who are saved, we are family, not only to each other, but even to God himself. He is our heavenly Father. That's why when we pray, Father, we're speaking about our heavenly Father. We're in the family. We even sing about Christ being our brother. We'll close today with Joyful, Joyful. And one of the lines in there is, Christ our brother. Why? Because we're in the family. He is our brother. Jesus clearly spoke that those who are in his spiritual family will be treated and included like we were in his physical family, like his biological family. He said, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, my sister, and my mother. There's an elevation here. Before salvation, you're not treated as family. You are loved and God is gracious in a sense that you can even take your next breath. And there are many ways that God is being gracious to those who aren't even saved, but you're still not family. But after salvation, Jesus says, you're now in my family, you'll be included and treated as family. It even lends to the idea that it's going to be hard to tell a difference. It's like the level of care and love that you give to your immediate family, your biological family, is going to be very similar to that of your spiritual family. It's like the crowd watching Jesus and going, now is that one of his brothers or his sisters, or is that one of his disciples? Because he loves them and treats them like they're his own family. He's so loving and caring. Do you see the picture here? Which is a great testimony of how Jesus treats us. When you're together and you love each other like your own family, it's going to be hard for the world to go, now, is that his biological family, or is that, because he kind of treats them all the same. He loves them and cares for them all the same. Have you ever had someone treat you like that? Like you are a part of their family, like it's, you just are, even though biologically you're not. You're just so loved and so cared for, you're just one of the family. That's how Jesus treats those who are saved. So here's the thing. But he doesn't treat us like family. He treats us as his family. There's a difference. It's not that you're not in the family and he's going to treat you like you are. No, you actually are in the family. You actually are in the family. Now today, if you were to come over to my house, I can maybe treat you like family, but that doesn't make you in my biological family. But it's not the same with Jesus. Jesus isn't going to treat you like family if you are saved. You are family. And there's a big difference here. Jesus is stressing that the earthly, the relationship here, that's earthly is actually eternal. And the more important of the between the biological and the spiritual is certainly the spiritual relationship that we have. Again, and there's a lot of people in Christian ministry who will do this, but Jesus is not saying that you ignore your biological family for the sake of your spiritual family. Instead, Jesus is saying it is more important to be related to Him spiritually than physically. Now, I have people in this room that I am related to physically, biologically. But I have even more people in this room that I am related to spiritually. And so here's the thing. It's more important to be related. Jesus is saying to the crowd at that time, because you got to imagine, Jesus is standing there in front of all these people. He's got His biological family over here trying to get to Him. He's got some of His spiritual family, the disciples, that are in the crowd. Obviously not the entire crowd, but some of the crowd, the followers, the disciples. Jesus is saying, you know, my biological family that's over there and my spiritual family. He's like, listen, you really are. You're the eternal family. And you're going to have a hard time telling the difference by the way I love you and the way I love my immediate family. Jesus isn't saying neglect your family at the expense of spiritual family, because Jesus didn't teach that. He didn't demonstrate it. When He was on the cross, He made sure that His physical family, His mother Mary, was taken care of. So Jesus is not saying neglect your earthly family, but He is saying that eternal value is found only in being a part of the spiritual family of God. It's eternal. I have a wonderful biological family I love, but it's temporary. It's not eternal. Now, thankfully, they also are part of my spiritual family. So that part of it, they are eternal. So your biological family is temporary, but your spiritual family is forever. And these two characteristics here that we notice within this statement of Jesus, He says about being a spiritual family. Remember, He tells us, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. So there's two things about being in God's family, two characteristics. And the first one, a lot of people don't like this, and actually it's mistaught many times. But to be in God's family, it is limited. It is limited. Notice what Jesus says. He says His family is only those who do the will of the Father. You know, a lot of times, I've said it a few times from this pulpit, you'll hear many people say, well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. We are not all God's children. A lot of people will say that. Now, what is true is we all are created by God and in His image. That is true. We all have been created by God in His image. But we're not all God's children. Because Jesus even said, it's only those who do the will of the Father. Jesus affirms it right here. Only those who do the will of His Father are His family. Again, as humans, we're made in the image of God, but that doesn't make you His child. God's family is limited to only those who do the will of the Father. It's only limited to believers. Those in the family of God is limited to those who walk down a narrow path, not a wide one. Those who walk in righteousness and holiness and have the Spirit of God in them, not worldliness. Those in God's family love the brethren. They don't stay away from them. Those in God's family are followers of Christ, not followers of the world and sin and self. So to be in God's family, there are limits. We must realize that it is a family that is off limits to many because He has requirements. It's limited. There are boundaries. Requirements here regarding God's family. And the requirements are based on God's standards. We can only be in God's family when we come to Him on His terms. It's not up to us. It's up to Him. And only when we submit to Him and do His will can we be one of His as far as His family. When Jesus made this statement, He made it, and again, His disciples were there, His followers, not the multitude necessarily, not the fans. Because being in God's family has limits. It has boundaries. Yeah, all are invited, but only a few will come, because to join God's family, you have to submit to the will of the Father. You have to be a believer, a follower of Christ. There are limits in that sense. The other is that God's family is loving. And I realize there are those who have been hurt by other Christians. I would say every believer can share a story about being hurt by another believer. We all have. I've been hurt by other Christians. I've been hurt by people in my own biological family. We can all probably say that. But if we're to follow God's commands, then to be in God's family means to be loving to one another. That means, even being, to an extent, affectionate with one another. Now, that doesn't mean you have to hug everybody you see, but, two brothers in the Lord hugging each other is quite understandable because we are family. Whenever I see, like last night, my 26 were there, but also my uncle and my cousin and their family were there, and I see them, and I haven't seen them in a couple of months, and I hug them. Why? Because we're family. I don't have to. It's just a natural overflow of the fact that we're family. We want to hug. We want to show affection to one another. No one's making us. It's just an outflow of the love for one another. And you can be certainly loving and caring without ever being, a hugger. But when we look at affection for one another, that should be the rare exception, not the norm. Because the church family should be affectionate with one another. Why? Because we are family. Just like it's unnatural to see a biological family that doesn't hug or touch. That's, if you saw a family together and they never touched each other, you would think that is unnatural. I would say the same for church family that doesn't enjoy being affectionate with one another. And even after being in, for many years, a long time ago, being in program-driven churches, I realized looking back that many times it was more about doing church than being the church. I look back and can see that. And we really lived as if church was something that we went to as opposed to the fact that we were the church. And when you come to that realization, it really does change the way you see church family and even attending worship together. If your mindset is church is something you go and do or you go to instead of who you are, you'll always have that little disconnect there when you see it only as that. God does not want you to live that way. God does not want you to live that way. So let's close here with asking ourselves a few probing questions. They may make you feel a little uncomfortable, but it's just something to process here as we consider the great eternal value that Jesus puts on brothers and sisters in Christ, the fellowship of the saints. First of all, let's look at these three questions here, really about your church life. That's what he's talking about, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Those who, and now certainly I have brothers and sisters in Christ on the other side of the world, but I don't interact with them, I don't see them. So we're talking about just the week-to-week interaction with us as church family. Do you see us at Heritage as your family or as your extended family? And when Jesus responded in verse 35, he included his disciples, basically, at the same level he included his mother and his brothers. That not like extended family. He treated them as immediate family. Jesus wants your church family not to be treated like extended family, which is like a rare, every once in a while occurrence. Because most of us don't see our extended family except maybe around the holidays or family reunions, unless you happen to just actually live near them. But Jesus is treating his disciples as if they are his immediate family because they are. He even says that. And so how do you view church family? Do you see it as extended family? Every once in a while I'll see them. No, we're to treat each other like family. Because if I went 2 or 3 weeks without seeing my own children that are in my house, that would be unusual. That would be unnatural. So do you treat us, one another, as family or as extended family? Jesus exemplifies us for us what it looks like. Jesus loves us as immediate family. And we should love one another as such. And second, does your schedule, does it reflect the eternal value of church family? Now, I know schedules can get busy and crazy and hairy and all that. But if you were to look over the last month or the last year, does your family schedule, how you just kind of roll as a family, does it reaffirm the fact that your church family is of eternal value? As opposed to being a part of something in your life when it's convenient or it works for you. Because here's the truth, especially mom and dads in here. Here's the truth. If you don't make church family and your worship together a priority, your children, as they grow older, they will usually take that Christianity and the love of the brethren, that's something just optional, because mom and dad have not ever been fully committed to a local family, a local church body. Your kids will take that and run the other way with it. And as parents, we need to create an environment in our family life that instills in our children a love for the church body. But, you know, especially in American Christianity today, attending church is one of those things for many in America that you will do, that you'll only be engaged with your church family. You'll only attend worship when, you know, everything else on your plate has kind of cleared, when your schedule has opened up, or when, you know, you don't have a busy week coming up, or just coming off a busy week, or you know, when you don't have, you know, well, we have, you know, other people in town, so we're not going to be with our church family. You got to understand, that's not the legacy that we want to leave for our children, that church family is way down here somewhere, because that's not where Jesus put it. That's not where Jesus put it. Think about it this way. Think about it this way, the eternal value of one another, just here in this room. How can the church for whom Jesus died take so lightly fellowshipping with the others for whom he died? Think about that. But it happens, unfortunately, a lot in the American church. Let's not take lightly the great eternal value of church family. Now listen, to be clear, because this is where legalism can settle in. I'm not talking about being committed to church attendance. That can be a legalistic thing, because it is actually very possible to attend church here every Sunday and still not love anyone. It's possible to show up Sunday after Sunday and not have any value for anyone in here. So this isn't about checking off an attendance box. But what we have seen and what Jesus exemplifies, when you have a great love and value the church family, it's going to be hard not to want to be with your family. Do you see the difference? It's one thing to go, I'm going to go be there and check the box, but really could care less about anybody or anything else. You can do that. God knows your heart. But the other side of it is, if you really value church family, you see it as an eternal perspective, not just a week-to-week or Sunday-to-Sunday perspective. It'll be the reverse. For those of you who love to play an instrument or love to play a sport, if you love it, you don't try to stay away from it, and you really don't have to force people to practice if they have a great love for it. When you have a great love for it, you want to do it. You want to practice that instrument. You want to play that sport. You want to enjoy that because you love it. The same with church family. When you enjoy church family, you love church family, you want to be here and engage with one another and fellowship with one another. This was the attitude of the first century church, the first church that got together. They took great value in being with one another, investing with one another, even sharing their stuff with one another. It was better than anything the world offered. They were so into one another. It's how God designed it, and it was being exemplified even in that first century church. Because here's the thing, when you live disconnected from your church family, it can make you weak and spiritually ineffective. Because God has created us to need each other. God has created us to need each other. Now maybe today you feel like I don't need someone, but there'll be coming time when you're going to need your church family. So we want to understand that we want to be spiritually effective. There's no such thing as the Lone Ranger Christian. If you are a part of the church body, you are to be connected and committed. Because it affects everyone, not just you when you're not here. Look what Jesus said, John says in 1 John 3:14, we know we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Notice what he says. There is a supernatural, spiritual love for one another for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, we are not the perfect church and you're not the perfect member. And that will never happen this side of heaven. But it's essential for us to be gathered with one another, to love one another, to see the eternal value of one another. Because God has set it up this way. The bride of Christ. You see, here's the command. When we talk about Hebrews 10, Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and to good works, and not neglecting to meeting together, to assembling, to gathering. Don't neglect that is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here's the thing. The command here is not to find the perfect church, because you won't. The command is to not forsake being with one another. That doesn't mean you go to an unbiblical church. But it does mean that you're going to deal with mess. You're going to deal with people you don't like, you don't get along with. That maybe your personality and their personality doesn't quite get together. Remember, we looked at the disciples a while back. And if you remember, Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector were on political spectrums that way. They probably did not really like each other. But as they grow in Christ and as they mature in the faith, they become joint workers and co-laborers in the gospel. See, God's not saying, find the perfect church. He's saying, be together. Enjoy the value of church family. Being committed to Christ and committed to one another is part of staying strong in the faith. Don't miss out on the fellowship of the saints of God. And then the last question, do you love the body of Christ as Jesus did and as He commands? Because sometimes I think we forget that command part with what Jesus says. The command is not optional to love and to fellowship. If Jesus is first in our life, we should want to place that same desire that Jesus does on church family, which can be hard to swallow. I realize that because we're dealing with other people. People that aren't exactly like us, or even close to being like us. But as we grow in Christ, and as we see the love of Christ manifested in our own life, we will have a great desire as family in a local church to be involved in other people's lives, to minister to one another within the body. And if Christ is not first in your life, then it's all going to be based on you and your feelings and how things are going that day. So you can't be that way, walking with Jesus. There are things that God calls us to do in our life that are hard, and sometimes that means trying to get along with other people. But with Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God living within all of us, it is possible. If you're in love with Jesus, there's going to be such an outpouring of commitment and love to one another because of the eternal value of church family. It will be natural in that sense. God has given us the church family to be a great gift for spiritual protection, for growth, encouragement, exhortation, even an occasional rebuke. God has designed the church family to be this way. If you follow the teachings of Jesus, you're going to see He has a great high value on church family, on those who do the will of the Father. He's not sporadic with it. He's not disconnected. Jesus is purposeful and loving in His pursuit of us. And with the Holy Spirit indwelling each believer, you can love difficult people. You can even live with difficult people. The Holy Spirit is in your life. Walking together, fellowshipping with one another, worshiping with one another, abounding in love because we are in the family of God. Do not suppress, do not neglect, do not fail to see the great eternal value that we have just sitting in this room together this morning. This is our spiritual family that will be with us forever. Our biological families that are sitting on your rows, that's not how God's going to see us. It's going to be the spiritual family. So let's celebrate that we have in Christ Jesus, and that all of us as brothers and sisters in Christ and with Christ our brother, have a heavenly Father that greatly loves His spiritual family. I'm so thankful that I am in His family. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for family. I thank You for the kingdom family that I'm a part of. I'm thankful that my brothers and sisters here in Christ, Lord, even those that are far different than I am, that have different strengths and abilities and gifts and personalities, Lord, You still have brought us all together. Your sovereignty, Lord, is at work even in this local body. I pray that You will help us to love one another, to serve one another. Even more and more, as the Scripture says, as the day is approaching, Lord. That day when you will come and we will forever be in our forever home with our forever family. And Lord, what a great testimony. I'm thankful that, Lord, that day when Mary and the brothers of Jesus were looking for Him, that our Savior took the time to remind us of the great value of family and how we are included. Lord, we are not on the outside looking in, hoping to be a part of the family of God. You have placed us here. Lord, help us to see the eternal value. As parents, help us to instill that in our children. Lord, the great value of church family. May they see it in our example first. Father, thank You for loving us, even some of us difficult children that You have. Lord, thank You for being patient with us. May we be the same way with others. Father, we thank You for Your Son. Lord, for His example. Even having a Judas in His midst, Lord. Even the disciples could not tell whether or not it was they the ones who were going to betray Him, because there was so much love that Jesus had for others. May we be the same way, Lord. May people who show up here at Heritage have a hard time distinguishing between those who are in our immediate family here and those who are in our spiritual family, because there's so much love and affection and caring for one another. May that be our testimony, as Jesus has done the same with us. It's in His name I pray. Amen.